Okay, so does anybody have any? Oh, it's the 20th. Okay, December 20th. And we are right in the middle of Moses. And I guess I read, I don't remember now, I guess I read from two other, we're on the third of many, many discussions of Moses in the Quran. And this, by the way, they're not all this long. This is probably the longest of the lot. I mean, it's, what, 69 verses altogether. And I don't offhand see anything else quite that massive in my notes. So it's not that, you know, in other words, we're not going to be dragging on. But, you know, Moses is a major prophet, right? I mean, you know, he's a major prophet. Well, he's the major prophet in Judaism. And I suppose the same maybe is true in Christianity, you know, I guess. And so, you know, it's understandable why there would be so much space devoted to talking about Moses. So anyway, let me just kind of, we're right in the middle of Surah number 7. It's 104 to 172. And we stopped, I put my little bookmark here at 164. And I was going to look over this before class, but obviously I was detained. So let me just quickly go to 104 and just see. Let's start it over here. So at the very beginning, remember, there was a... And by the way, my sense is, with the Moses stuff, my sense is that this is a lot like the account of Exodus. If you have any different opinions, let me know. But as I remember and as I go through this, it does seem to be just about, you know, the same. I mean, there's this business about throwing down the rod and it became a serpent. And then Pharaoh summoned his magicians and whatnot. And they were not able to do the same things Moses was able to do. That was the first thing. And then, let's see here. Then, oh yeah, right. And then there are the various plagues on Egypt, right? There's a drought and let's see what else. Frogs and locusts and lice and frogs and blood. Well, storm. I don't remember storm, but. Locusts, lice, frogs, blood. I'm not sure I remember lice either, but it's certainly the same kind of thing. Let's see now. And then they went across the Red Sea. Let's see, and so forth and so on. So, oh, and then there was the water from the rock. I remember that was in there. So we are after the water from the rock, and we're 164, and we're going to 172, so we're not very far from the end here. And asked them concerning the town which stood by the sea, when they profaned the Sabbath, when their fish came to them on the Sabbath day, appearing in the surface of the water. But on the day when they did not keep the Sabbath, they came not to them. Thus did we try them, because they were rebellious. And when a party among them said, wherefore do you preach to a people whom Allah is going to destroy or punish with a severe punishment? They said, as an excuse before your Lord, and that they may become righteous. And when they forgot all that with which they had been admonished, we save those who forbade evil, and we seize the transgressors with a severe punishment because they were rebellious. And when they insolently rebelled against that which had been forbidden, we said to them, be ye apes despised. Now, I don't remember that exactly. There were certainly references to the golden calf. I forgot about that. There was a reference to the golden calf, a couple of, I think, references to the golden calf. But this one, I don't exactly know. I can't really, recall anything from the Bible on that. And remember the time when the Lord proclaimed that he would truly raise against them till the day of resurrection those who would afflict them with grievous torment. Surely thy Lord is quick in retribution, and surely he is also most forgiving and merciful. And we broke them up into separate peoples in the earth, Among them are those that are righteous, and among them are those that are otherwise. And we tried them with good things and bad things that they might return. Then there has come an evil generation after them who inherited the book. They take the paltry goods of this low world and say, it will be forgiven us. But if there came to them similar goods again, they would take them. Was not the covenant of the book taken from them that they would not say of Allah anything but the truth? And they have studied what is therein, and the abode of the hereafter is better for those who are righteous. Will you not then understand? And as those who hold fast by the book and observe prayer, surely we suffer not the reward of such righteous people to perish. And when we shook the mountain over them as though it were a covering, they thought it was going to fall on them. We said, hold fast that which we have given you, and remember what is therein that you may be saved. I'm not sure about that last little bit. I'm not sure that that's really about Moses. After we broke them up into separate peoples, I don't know if that's referring to the Hebrews or exactly what it's referring to. So that's the long account in Surah 7. And as I said, most of it is very familiar to us from the stories in Exodus. So we'll move on to the next one. Is only one verse, 8:55. So let's see, it's here. Their case is like the case of the people of Pharaoh and those before them. They rejected the signs of their Lord, so we destroyed them for their sins. We drowned all the people of Pharaoh, for they're all wrongdoers. Okay. That's a big one, of course. That plays right into the main theme that if you don't shape up, then terrible things are going to happen. Surah 10:76-93. Let me just see where I'm going here. Okay. Then did we send after them Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh and his chiefs with our signs, but they behaved arrogantly, and they were a sinful people. And when there came to them the truth from us, they said, this is surely a manifest enchantment. Moses said, do you say this of the truth when it has come to you? Is this enchantment? And the enchanters never prosper. They said, hast thou come to us that thou mayest turn us away from what we found our fathers following, and that you too may have greatness in the land? But we will not believe in either of you. And Pharaoh said, bring to me every expert magician. Okay, so this is the same story, right? And when the magicians came, Moses said to them, cast ye what ye would cast. And when they had cast, Moses said, what have you brought? What you have brought is mere sorcery. Surely Allah will make it vain. Verily, Allah does not allow the work of mischief makers to prosper. And Allah establishes the truth by his words, even though the sinners be averse to it. And none obeyed Moses, save some youths from among his people, because of the fear of Pharaoh and of their chiefs, lest he should persecute them. And of a truth, Pharaoh was a tyrant in the land, and surely he was of the transgressors. And Moses said, O my people, if you have believed in Allah, then in him put your trust, if you indeed submit to his will. And they said, in Allah do we put our trust. Our Lord, make us not a trial for the wrongdoing people. And deliver us by thy mercy from the disbelieving people. And we, that would be God, spoke to Moses and his brother, saying, take ye twain some houses for your people in the town, and make your houses so as to face one another, and observe prayer, and give glad tidings to the believers. And Moses said, O Lord, thou hast bestowed upon Pharaoh and his chiefs embellishment and wealth in the present life, with the result, O Lord, that they are leading men astray from thy path. O Lord, destroy their riches and attack their hearts, and they are not going to believe until they see the grievous punishment. He said, your prayer is accepted. So be ye twain steadfast and follow not the path of those who know not. And we brought the children of Israel across the sea, and Pharaoh and his host pursued them wrongfully and aggressively till, when the calamity of drowning overtook them, he said, I believe that there is no God but he in whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of those who submit to him. So Pharaoh eventually relents and agrees that there is no God but Allah. What now? While thou wast disobedient before this and wast of those who create disorder? So this day we will save thee and thy body alone, that thou mayest be a sign to those who come after thee, and surely many of mankind are heedless of our signs. So that's an interesting little twist to it. That's certainly unique to this story here. To Pharaoh himself, at the very end, you know, I wonder if there's a footnote here. Let's see. Well, that's nothing major. And we brought the children, they drowned, and then Pharaoh says, I believe that there is no God but he in whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of those who submit to him. And it's a little bit of a smackdown, but better late than never, I guess. So this day we will save thee and thy body alone, but nobody else. Okay, that was 10. 1197 to 100. This is a real short one. And surely we sent Moses with our signs and manifest authority to Pharaoh and his chiefs, but they followed the command of Pharaoh, and the command of Pharaoh was not at all rightful. He will go before his people on the day of resurrection and will bring them down into the fire, even as cattle are brought to a watering place, and evil is the watering place arrived at. And a curse was made to follow them in this life, and on the day of resurrection, evil is the gift which shall be given them. That's weird. Unless he will go before his people on the day of resurrection and will bring them down into the fire. Does that mean he's going there too? Whereas the previous one, pretty clearly, was different. That's weird. We brought the children to Pharaoh's house, and he said, I believe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he will lead them down there and he'll go back. I'm not sure. That was 11. 12, 102 to 104. That was 11. I don't have that mark. I'll find it. Here we are. That's not even one. Oh, that's just a mistake, I guess. Oh, no, I misread it. 17. Okay, that makes more sense. 17, 102 to 104. Okay, good. And of a truth, we gave Moses 9 manifest signs. So ask them, the children of Israel. When he came to them, Pharaoh said to him, I do think thee, Moses, to be a victim of deception. He said, thou knowest well that none has sent down these signs but the Lord of the heavens and the earth as so many evidences, and I certainly think thee, O Pharaoh, to be a ruined man. So he resolved to remove them from the land, but we drowned him and those who were with him altogether. So I see some inconsistencies here. Yeah. 20, 10 to 98. So this one's a little bit longer. 20, 10 to 98. Let me just see where I'm going here. 98. Okay. That's interesting. You know, there is the doctrine of abrogation. Although this is historical type stuff, there is a doctrine of abrogation where later revelations can abrogate previous revelations. But if it's just a matter of history, then it seems a little odd. But I'm not sure how to iron out those 3 different passages, one of which says, we'll save you because you believed, although tardily. And another one sounds like, you know, you're going right down to the hellfire. And the other one talks about his being drowned with everybody else. I'm not sure. And has the story of Moses come to thee? When he saw a fire, now this would be, I guess, the burning bush. When he saw a fire, he said to his family, I'm not sure, tarry ye, I perceive a fire. Perhaps I may bring you a brand therefrom or find guidance at the fire. And when he came to it, he was called by a voice. O Moses, verily I am thy Lord, so take off thy shoes, for thou art in the sacred valley of Tua. So this is definitely the burning bush, but a little variant of it. And I have chosen thee, So hearken to what is revealed. Verily, I am Allah. There is no God beside me, so serve me and observe prayer for my remembrance. Surely the hour is coming. I am going to manifest it, and every soul, that every soul may be recompensed for its endeavor. So let not him who believes not therein and follows his own evil inclinations turn away therefrom, lest thou perish. And what is in thy right hand, O Moses? He replied, This is my rod. I lean on it and beat down therewith leaves for my sheep, and I have also other uses for it. He said, Cast it down, O Moses. So he cast it down, and behold, it was a serpent running. God said, Catch hold of it, and fear not. We shall restore it to its former condition. And draw thy hand close under thy armpit. It shall come forth white without any disease. Another sign, that we may show thee some of our greater signs. So go thou to Pharaoh. He has indeed exceeded all bounds. So this is a little bit of a dry run. This is not in the Bible as such. At the burning bush phase, there's no dry run in Exodus where he tests out the rod. And I don't remember, somebody remind me, was one of the miracles, because I didn't get a chance to look it up, was one of the miracles, this business about turning his hand leprous, I guess is what it is. Does anybody know? Anybody remember that? I mean, I remember the rod, of course, turning into a serpent, but I don't remember his hand turning white.
Yeah, his hand became leprous.
Okay. That was one of the other... was that after the rod part?
Right.
Okay. I didn't remember that. Okay, good. So then that's the same. But what is different, of course, is there's no dry run in Exodus because we're still at the burning bush at this point. Okay. Moses said, My Lord, open out for me my breast and ease for me my task and loose the knot of my tongue that they may understand my speech and grant me a helper from my family. Now, this is, of course, familiar to us. Aaron, my brother, increase my strength with him. And make him share my task, that we may glorify thee much and remember thee much. Thou possessest full knowledge of us. God said, Granted is thy prayer, O Moses, and we did indeed confer a favor upon thee at another time also, when we revealed to thy mother what was an important revelation, saying, Aha, this is a bit of a flashback, right? Put him in the ark and throw it into the river. Then the river will cast it onto the bank, and one who is an enemy to me and also an enemy to him will take it up. And I wrapped thee with love from me, and this I did, that thou mightest be reared before my eye. When thy sister walked along and said, Shall I guide you to one who will take charge of him? So we restored thee to thy mother, that her eye might be cooled, and she might not grieve. Remember that his real mother nursed him. Although Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. And thou didst indeed kill a man. Once again, that's a Exodus incident. Where am I now? Kill a man. But we delivered thee from sorrow. Then we proved thee in various ways. And thou didst tarry several years among the people of Midian. That one too. And thou camest up to the standard, O Moses. So that little flashback. It covers material that we haven't yet seen in the Quran, but it's all biblical material. And I have chosen thee for myself. Go thou and thy brother with my signs, and slacken not in remembering me. Go both of you to Pharaoh, for he has transgressed all bounds. But speak to him in a gentle speech, that he may possibly heed or fear. They replied, O Lord, we fear lest he commit some excess against us, and exceed all bounds in transgression. God said, Fear not. For I am with you both. I hear and I see. So go ye both to him and say, We are the messengers of thy Lord. So let the children of Israel go with us and afflict them not. We have indeed brought thee a sign from thy Lord, and peace shall be upon him who follows the guidance. It has indeed been revealed to us that punishment shall come on him who rejects and turns away. Pharaoh said, Who, well, of course, that's a little bit of a jump there, because this is God saying, you should say this, but okay, they did. So Pharaoh said, who then is the Lord of you too, O Moses? He said, our Lord is he who gave unto everything its proper form and then guided it to its proper function. Pharaoh said, what then will be the fate of the former generations? He said, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord recorded in a book. My Lord neither errs nor forgets. That's sort of the, there's a continual references, of course, to the preserved tablet, as it's called, in heaven. Literally a tablet. And the Quran presumably is part of that preserved tablet. But there are all these references to this book out there, up there, I should say. Anyway, going on. It is he who has made the earth for you a cradle and has caused pathways for you to run through it, and who sends down rain from the sky, and thereby we bring forth various kinds of vegetation. Eat ye and pasture your cattle. Verily, in this are signs for those who are endued with reason. So this is almost like a design argument for the existence of God. All these wonderful things in the world, where do they come from? Well, they must have come from God. From it we have created you, and into it we shall cause you to return. From the dust you came, from the dust you shall return, and from it shall we bring you forth once more. Like the resurrection. And we did show him, Pharaoh, our signs, all of them, but he rejected them and refused to believe. He said, come thou to us, O Moses, to drive out our land by thy... I'm sorry, I misread that. He said, hast thou come to us, O Moses, to drive us out of our land by thy magic? But we shall assuredly bring thee magic, the like thereof, so make an appointment between us and thyself, which we shall not fail to keep, neither we nor thou, at a place alike for us both. So there's a magician duel. He's setting up this magician duel. And Moses said, your appointment shall be for the day of the festival, and let the people be assembled when the sun is risen high. This is a little bit of an embellishment on that story, right? And then Pharaoh withdrew and concerted his plan, and then came to the place of appointment. Moses said to them, woe to you, forge not a lie against Allah, lest he destroy you by some punishment, and surely he who forges a lie shall perish. Then they argued their affair amongst themselves and conferred in secret. They said, certainly these two are magicians who desire to drive you out from the land by their magic and destroy your best traditions. Concert therefore your plan, and then come forward arrayed, and surely he who gains the ascendancy this day shall prosper. They said, O Moses, either do you throw first, or we shall be the first to throw. He said, nay, throw ye. Then lo, their cords and their staves appeared to him by their magic, as though they ran about. And Moses conceived a fear in his mind. We said, of course, is God. We said, fear not, for thou wilt have the upper hand. And throw that which is in thy right hand, it will swallow that which they have wrought, for which they have wrought is only a magician's trick, and a magician shall not thrive, come where he may. Then the magicians were made to fall down prostrate. They said, we believe in the Lord of Aaron and Moses. Pharaoh said, do you believe in him before I gave you leave? He must be your chief who has taught you magic. I will therefore surely cut off your hands and your feet alternately, and I will surely crucify you on the trunks of palm trees, and you shall know which of us is severe or more abiding in punishment. They said, we shall not prefer thee to the manifest signs that have come to us, nor shall we prefer thee to him who has created us. So decree what thou wilt decree. Thou canst only decree concerning this present life. Surely we have believed in our Lord that he may forgive us our sins and forgive us the magic which thou didst force us to use. And Allah is the best and the most abiding. Verily he comes to his Lord a sinner, for him is hell. He shall neither die therein nor live. But he who comes to him as a believer, having done good deeds, for such are the highest ranks, gardens of eternity beneath which rivers flow, and they will abide therein forever. And that is the recompense of those who keep themselves pure. This is all what the magicians are saying, I guess. It's hard to know where the quote ends, but maybe that's a comment by Muhammad, I don't know. And we sent a revelation to Moses, saying, take away my servants by night and strike for them a dry path through the sea. Thou wilt not be afraid of being overtaken, nor wilt thou have any other fear. Then Pharaoh pursued them with his hosts, and there overwhelmed them of the waters of the sea, that which overwhelmed them. And there overwhelmed them of the waters of the sea, that which overwhelmed them. Okay. And Pharaoh led his people astray and did not guide them aright. O children of Israel, we delivered you from your enemy, and we made a covenant with you on the right side of the mount. And we sent down on you manna and salwa. Right, that was I forgot to mention, but that was also back in Surah 7, the manna and then the salwa. That's S-A-L-W, long A. Eat of the good things that we have provided for you, and transgress not therein, lest my wrath descend upon you, and he on whom my wrath descends shall perish. But surely I am forgiving to those who repent and believe and do good deeds, and then stick to guidance. And what has happened, what has hastened thee away from thy people, O Moses? He said, they are closely following in my footsteps, and I have hastened to thee, my Lord, that thou mightest be pleased. God said, we have tried thy people in thy absence, and the Samiri has led them astray. That's S long A-M-I-R long I. The Samiri has led them astray. So Moses returned to his people indignant and sad.
Did we just buzz through the parting of the Red Sea in one sentence?
Yeah, well, that was back, yeah, in this one.
One sentence. Take a dry path and then overwhelm the pursuers.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. The overwhelmed verse was the Red Sea verse here, yeah. Well, it's in more detail than some of the other surahs, but here, you're right, it's just in one verse. And then next thing you know, they're two verses later, they're at Mount Sinai. And then three or four verses on Moses being there alone and everybody else is, you know, down below. And then this Samiri led them astray. Of course, Aaron was the one who connived at the golden calf, but it's Samiri here. And then he comes down. He says, oh, my people, did not your Lord promise you a gracious promise? Did then the appointed time appear too long to you? And did you desire that wrath should descend upon you from your Lord, that you broke your promise to me? They said, we have not broken our promise to thee of our own accord, but we were laden with loads of people's ornaments, and we threw them away, and likewise did the Samiri cast. Then he produced for them a calf, an image producing a lowing sound. And they said, this is your God and the God of Moses. So he gave up the religion of Moses. Could they not see that it returned to them no answer and had no power to do them either harm or good? So there's this golden calf, and actually I remember too from, I guess, Surah 7, there's the business about it can't talk, right? It can't, or it can't even moo or anything like that. It can't make any sound. No, I'm quite sure that's not in the Bible. But of course, that is a typical comment about idols, of course, in the Quran, that it, you know, the idols can't talk. And as I remember, the portion of Isaiah that's called Second Isaiah, what is it, 45 to 60? Am I right about that? I'm not sure. Something like that. There's a lot about idols there. I don't recall anything about they can't talk, but it's certainly the same general idea. They can't do anything. They're just inert blocks of wood or something. And that's what's prominent here. I think the reason it's prominent here is because that's what Muhammad was dealing with, remember? I mean, the you know, the Meccans at the time were polytheists, and they had, you know, in the Kaaba, for example, there's the, you know, in Muhammad's day, there were all sorts of idols there. And so he was partly proclaiming against idol worship. So not surprising that that would figure in the story. And Aaron said, and Aaron had said to them before this, "Oh, my people, you've only been tried by means of the calf, and surely the gracious God is your Lord. So follow me and obey my command." They replied, "We shall not cease to worship it until Moses returned to us." So here Aaron is on the good side. And Moses said, "O Aaron, what has hindered thee when thou didst see them going astray? From following me, hast thou then disobeyed my command?" He answered, "O son of my mother, seize me not by my beard, nor by the hair of my head. I feared lest thou shouldst say, thou hast caused a division among the children of Israel, and didst not wait for my word." Moses said, "And what hast thou to say, O Samiri?" He said, "I perceived what they perceived not. I only partly received the impress of the messenger, but that too I cast away. Thus it is that my mind commended to me." Moses said, "Go away. It shall be thine to say throughout thy life, 'Touch me not.' And there is a promise of punishment for thee, which shall not fail to be fulfilled about thee. Now look at thy God, of which thou hast become a devoted worshiper. We will certainly burn it and then scatter it away into the sea." Okay. So, this is quite a bit on the golden calf. And I don't know who this Samiri character is. That's... that's that. Now, my recollection of the story in Exodus, of course, is all about Aaron, but I don't remember any further character that might be, you know, equivalent to this one. I think I'm right on that. Okay, so let's go on to, this is in 20 now, 23, 46 through 50.
Don, yeah. It wouldn't be Miriam, would it? Didn't she go around and collect the sister, Miriam? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Samiri, didn't she go around and collect the jewelry from the women to make the calf?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it just struck me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Although this Samiri character seems to be male, but, you know, you can have a... that may not be a really, you know... I can see how a female character... it is a similar name, isn't it? Maybe so. You know how... well, you know the old thing about the old party game. You know, if you have people in a circle, right, and somebody will whisper something into the person's ear, and that person will whisper it to the next, and the next, by the time you get around the end of the circle, things have changed a little bit. And, you know, I could see how you could get from a male to a female to a male, perhaps, and the name could change slightly, perhaps. Yeah, that seems reasonable. Any other comments? 23, 46 to 50. "Then we sent Moses and his brother Aaron with our signs and a clear authority to Pharaoh and his chiefs, but they behaved arrogantly, and they were a haughty people. And they said, 'Shall we believe in two men like ourselves while their people are our servants?' So they called them liars, and they were of those who were destroyed. And we gave Moses the book that they might be guided." Okay. Short and to the point. 25, 36 through 37. This is another short one. "We gave Moses the book and appointed with him his brother Aaron as his assistant. And we said, 'Go both of you to the people who have rejected our signs.' Then we destroyed them and utter destruction." 26, 11 through 69. This is a little longer. 69. Okay. And remember when thy Lord called Moses, saying, go to the wrongdoing people, the people of Pharaoh. Will they not fear God? He said, my Lord, I fear that they will treat me as a liar, and my breast is straitened, and my tongue is not fluent. Therefore, send word to Aaron, and they have a charge against me, so I fear that they may kill me. God said, I wonder why they have a charge against me. I'm not sure if he's alluding to his, you know, slaying of the Egyptian. I don't know. God said, not so. Go then, both of you, with our signs. We are with you and we hear. So go to Pharaoh and say, we are the messengers of the Lord of the worlds to tell thee to send the children of Israel with us. Pharaoh, this is the same thing here. So you're, God's talking here. He's saying, say to Pharaoh this. And the story doesn't even bother to say, so Moses went to Pharaoh and said, it's assumed that that's what happened, because the next person to speak is Pharaoh. So all of a sudden we're from God talking to Moses over here. Moses is now confronting Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, did we not bring thee up among us as a child? And thou didst stay among us many years of thy life. And thou didst do thy deed which thou didst, and thou art of the ungrateful. The deed I made, I guess, is the killing of the Egyptian, I guess. I'm going 69. Oh, that's right. And let's see. Moses said, I did do it then, and I was one of the erring. So I fled from you when I feared you. Then my Lord granted me right judgment and made me one of the messengers. And this is the favor of which thou taunted me, that thou hast enslaved the children of Israel. Pharaoh said, and what is the Lord of the worlds? Moses said, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and of all that is between the two, if you would be convinced. Pharaoh said to those around him, did you not hear? Moses said, your Lord and the Lord of your fathers of yore. Pharaoh said, most surely this messenger of yours who has been sent to you is a madman. And of course, that's what they were saying to Muhammad, as we will see. Moses said, the Lord of the east and of the west, and of all that is between the two, if you did but understand. Pharaoh said, if thou takest a god other than me, I will certainly put thee into prison. Moses said, what, even though I bring thee something that is manifest? Pharaoh said, bring it then, if thou speakest the truth. So he threw down his rod, and behold, it was a serpent plainly visible. And he drew forth his hand, and lo, it was white for the beholders. Of course, in the other one, remember, he had this dry run, but this is the real thing. Pharaoh said to the chiefs around him, this is surely a skillful magician. He seeks to turn you out of your land by his magic. Now, what do you advise? They said, put him off and his brother a while, and send into the cities summoners who should bring thee every skillful sorcerer. So the magicians were assembled together at the appointed time on a fixed day. And it was said to the people, will you also gather together so that we may follow the magicians if they are the winners? So this is like a, you know, like the team, I guess, entertainment back, you know, in the first millennium BC, or second millennium. And when the magicians came, they said to Pharaoh, shall we have a reward if we are the winners? Does sound like a show, doesn't it? Sounds like a TV show. He said, yes, and surely then you will be among those who are near my person. Moses said to them, now throw ye what you have to throw. So they threw down their ropes and their rods and said, by Pharaoh's honor, it is we who will surely win. Then Moses threw down his rod, and lo, it swallowed up that which they had fabricated. Thereupon the magicians were impelled to fall down prostrate. They said, we believe in the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Moses and of Aaron. Pharaoh said, you have believed in him before I gave you leave? This is the same thing, right? He is surely your chief who has taught you magic, but you shall know the consequences thereof. I most surely will cut off your hands and your feet on alternate sides, and I will surely crucify you all. They said, there is no harm to our Lord, shall we return? We do hope that our Lord will forgive us our sins, since we are the first among the believers. So we were the first. And we revealed to Moses, saying, take away my servants by night, and you will surely be pursued. And Pharaoh sent summoners into the city, saying, those are a small party, and they have offended us, and we are a multitude, fully prepared and vigilant. So we turn them out of gardens and springs and treasures, an abode of honor. Thus indeed it was, and we gave them as heritage to the children of Israel. I guess, I don't know quite, I mean, is that reference to the spoiling of the Egyptians? So we turned them out of gardens and springs, although you can't take gardens and springs with you, but you can take treasures, and treasures and an abode of honor. Thus indeed it was, and we gave them as heritage to the children of Israel. Not sure. And they pursued and overtook them at sunrise. And when the two hosts came in sight of each other, the companions of Moses said, "We are surely overtaken." "Nay, speak thus," said he, "my Lord is with me. He will direct me aright." Then we revealed to Moses, saying, "Strike the sea with thy rod." Thereupon it parted, and every part looked like a huge mountain. And we made the others approach that place, and we saved Moses and those who were with him. And then we drowned the others. And this verily there is a sign, but most of those would not believe. So, I guess nothing terribly new in that one, maybe, but a lot of detail on the contest between Moses and the Egyptians. So, yeah, that's 26. 27, 8 through 15. "Remember when Moses said to his family, 'I perceive a fire. I will bring you from there some information, or I will bring you a flame, a burning brand, that you may warm yourselves.' So when he came to it, he was called by a voice, 'Blessed is he who is in the fire, and also those around it. And glorified be Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Oh, Moses, verily I am Allah, the mighty, the wise. And throw down thy rod.' And when he saw, it move, as though it were a serpent, he turned back, retreating, and did not look back. 'O Moses, fear not. Verily, I am with thee. The messengers need have no fear in my presence. As to those who do wrong and then substitute good for evil, to them I am indeed most forgiving, merciful. And put thy hand into thy bosom. It will come out, come forth white without any disease. This is among the 9 signs unto Pharaoh and his people, for they are a rebellious people. But when our sight is giving signs to came, when our sight giving signs to them, I'm sorry, but when our sight giving signs came to them, they said, 'This is plain magic.' And they rejected them wrongfully and arrogantly, while their souls were convinced of them. See then how evil was the end of those who acted corruptly." So not too much detail there, although this is like the second or third time it's mentioned 9 signs to Pharaoh. I do not recall 9 such things in Exodus. Pat, do you? You have the. Are you looking at the Exodus story there?
Yeah, I mean this whole sort of throwdown.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Thunderdome, right? It's the Exodus Thunderdome edition.
Yeah.
It's really just one. I mean, a couple of verses in Exodus 7, I think, where, you know, the magicians, you know, Aaron, it isn't actually Moses throwing down his staff. It's Aaron throwing down his staff, and then Pharaoh summons the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also threw down their staffs, became snakes, but Aaron swallowed up theirs. So it's very short,
mm-hmm.
And that's followed by the plagues.
Well, how about the hand?
No, there's no hand. There's no hand. There's no audience. It's all very quick.
Well, where does the hand turning white come in then?
Oh, the burning bush.
Oh, back at the burning bush. Oh, okay, yeah. But the rod business was not at the burning bush. The dry run, as I called it.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and.
Okay.
And look, I did see the thing about the hand becoming leprous. That was not this later. Thing with Pharaoh.
Okay, so that's interesting. So yeah. That hand is with the burning bush. I wonder if I can quickly find that.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and see exactly where.
God commissions Moses.
Saw that.
See the burning bush. Well, of course, right at the beginning of Exodus. see here.
It's in Exodus 4.
Oh, 4.
Verse 6.
Oh, yeah, he does have a... Okay, look. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm wrong here. So beginning of 4, Moses answers, "But behold, they will not believe me and listen to my voice. They will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.' And the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.' He said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So I was wrong. There is a dry run here. Let's see. So he cast it on the ground, became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. That's in the Quran. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and take it by the tail.' So he put out his hand, blah, 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 blah. And then again, the Lord said, 'Put your hand into your bosom.' And he put his hand to his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. And then put your hand back, and he put his hand, and then, of course, it was restored. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And if they will not believe even these two signs or heed your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you shall take from the Nile will become blood upon the dry ground." So that's like a third one. And then, of course, that's followed by, I'm not a good speaker. My brother is good at that. So that's sort of the commissioning of Aaron, so to speak. So that's interesting. So what chapter were you in before?
Exodus 7, verse 8 through 13 is the Thunderdome.
Yes. Take your rod, blah, 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 went to Pharaoh, cast it. You're right.
Right, so it doesn't really go into any of the detail of what they prepared for the dry run, as you said.
Yeah.
It's really just the throwing down the staffs and becoming snakes and Aaron's swallows up everyone else's. And then you have at the very last verse there is Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I haven't heard Pharaoh's heart being hardened.
No, I haven't either.
He rejects Moses, obviously, mm-hmm. many, all throughout what you've been reading, but that's his doing.
Right? Yes,
there's
that's
nothing
right.
About
yeah, I know.
Hardening Pharaoh's heart. Which
that's always a theological difficulty, yeah. Right?
Right. Right.
When you pick it up in verse 14 in Exodus, after the hardening business, go to Pharaoh in the morning as he's going out to the water to wait for him by the riverbank, and then take your rod and let my people go. They may blah, blah, blah. By this you shall know that I'm the Lord. I will strike the water that's in the Nile and with the rod in, that is in my hands, and it shall be turned into blood. But that is... that's another sign, and
that's the first plague.
Okay, so we're into the plagues at this point. Yeah, I think you're right. And then, And then there's the frogs and the gnats and so forth and so on. Yeah. So obviously, some of the details have gotten shifted around in various ways, I would say. So let's go to 28. About a few minutes.
Don, can I just ask a question about this whole... So these sorcerers or magicians, what is the source of their power?
Well, apparently just plain human magic. I mean, that's what's the distinguishing feature all throughout here. Remember, they say to Moses, "Oh, you're just a magician."
Right.
Well, the implication is he's more than a magician. But Pharaoh's magicians are just magicians. So, I mean, there's obviously a belief in magic that you can take a rod, throw it on the ground, and if you're really good at it, you can throw it on the ground, it'll become a snake or writhe around like a snake or something. But that's your doing.
Right.
But God's
doing. It's more than just like a parlor trick. They really can do something kind of supernatural.
Yeah.
They're not divine, but they can...
Yeah. Now, exactly what the explanation of that would be, I don't know. Would it be like demons or something? I don't know what, if you were to ask them, in virtue of what can they make their staves act like snakes? I don't know what they would say exactly, but it's not God. Go ahead.
I just assume that was all part of God's plan. That the whole thing was God's plan.
Oh.
Not.
Uh huh. Oh, maybe, because it's a means of giving signs as to who God really is. I mean, you know, so it's a whole, the whole thing is staged, maybe. Maybe.
But Pharaoh at one point says something like, oh, you can do that because you had a really good teacher or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody taught you the magic. So from Pharaoh's perspective, it isn't coming from God. It is just a human skill. Yeah.
Yes, apparently, unless there's some sort of demonic help, but there's no indication of that, as you say. If you just look at what the text says, yeah, it just sounds like it's, yeah, you can go to magic school and learn how to do this stuff, you know. All right, 28, 4 through 45. I hope I can, we'll see if I can. If I can't, no big deal. We're getting there. This is like we're two-thirds of the way through, so, but quite a bit. We rehearse unto thee a portion of the story of Moses and Pharaoh with truth for the benefit of a people who would believe. Verily, Pharaoh believed arrogantly in the earth and divided the people thereof into parties. He sought to weaken the party of them, slaying their sons and sparing their women. Certainly, he was of the mischief makers. Well, I guess so. That's a bit of an understatement. And we desired to show favor unto those who had been considered weak in the earth, and to make them leaders, and to make them inheritors of our favors, and to establish them in the earth, and to show Pharaoh and Haman and their hosts that which they feared from them. And we revealed to the mother of Moses, saying, suckle him, and when thou fearest for him, then cast him into the river, and fear not, nor grieve, for we shall restore him to thee, and shall make him one of the messengers. And the family of Pharaoh picked him up, that he might become for them an enemy and a source of sorrow. Verily, Pharaoh and Haman and their hosts were wrongdoers. And Pharaoh's wife said, he will be a joy of the eye for me and for thee. Kill him not. Haply he will be useful to us, or we may adopt him as a son. And they perceived not the consequences thereof. And the heart of the mother of Moses became free from anxiety. She had almost disclosed his identity, were it not that we had strengthened her heart so that she might be of the firm believers. And she said to his sister, follow him up. So she observed him from afar, and they knew not of her relationship. And we had already ordained that he shall refuse the wet nurses. So she said, shall I tell you of a household who will bring him up for you and will be his sincere well-wishers? Thus did we restore him to his mother, that her eye might be gladdened, and that she might not grieve, and that she might know the promise of Allah is true, but most of them know not. And when he had reached the age of full strength and attained maturity, we gave him wisdom and knowledge, and thus do we reward those who do good. And he entered the city at a time when its inhabitants were in a state of heedlessness, and he found therein two men fighting, one of his own party and the other of his enemies. And he who was of his party sought his help against him who was of his enemies. So Moses smote him with his fist and thereby caused his death. He said, this is of Satan's doing. He is indeed an enemy, a manifest misleader. He said, my Lord, I have wronged my soul, therefore forgive me. So he forgave him. He is most forgiving, merciful. He said, my Lord, because thou hast bestowed favor upon me, I will never be a helper of the guilty. And morning found him in the city, apprehensive and watchful. And lo, he who had sought his help the day before cried out to him again for help. Moses said to him, verily, thou art manifestly a misguided fellow. And when he made up his mind to lay hold of the man who was an enemy to both of them, he said, O Moses, dost thou intend to kill me as thou didst kill the man yesterday? Thou only intendest to become a tyrant in the land, and thou intendest not to be a peacemaker. And there came a man from the far side of the city running. He said, O Moses, of a truth, the chiefs are taking counsel together against thee to kill thee. Therefore, get thee away. Surely I am of thy well-wishers. So he went forth therefrom, fearing and watchful. He said, my Lord, deliver me from the unjust people. And when he turned his face towards Midian, he said, I hope my Lord will guide me the right way. And when he arrived at the water of Midian, he found a party of men watering their flocks. And he found beside them two women keeping back their flocks. He said, what is the matter with you? They replied, we cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take away their flocks, and our father is a very old man. So he watered their flocks for them. This is all very much like the Bible. Then turned aside into the shade and said, my Lord, I am in need of whatever good thou mayest send down to me. And one of the two women came to him, walking bashfully. She said, "My father calls thee, that he may reward thee for having watered our flocks for us." And when he came to him, he told him the story. He said, "Fear not, thou hast escaped from an unjust people." One of the two women said, "Oh, my father, hire him, for the best man that thou canst hire is the one who is strong and trustworthy." He said, "I intend to marry one of these two daughters of mine to thee, on condition thou serve me on hire for 8 years. But if thou complete 10 years, it will be of thine own accord, and I would not lay any hardship upon thee. Thou wilt find me, if Allah wills, of the righteous." Of course, this is Jethro talking. And he said, "That is settled between me and thee. Whichever of the two terms I fulfill, there shall be no injustice to me, and Allah watches over what we say." Oh, we're out of time. So I'm not quite done with 28, but we'll have to pick this up next time. And I'm going to stop in place anyway. So see ya. See ya in a week. And I guess we will. Yeah. I guess we will meet next week. It's the 27th. Yeah.
Are we meeting next week?
Yeah, I think we can. I don't see why not. You know, everything's always at 10 o'clock. So it's same old, same old.
All right.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See. 28.